present today are Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson.
Morning, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Huggins, Senator Elton. We have a quorum. We're going to discuss, and my intent is to move out two bills, Senate Bill 19 and Senate Bill 20. We will have a CS for Senate Bill 19. But first, we're going to take up Senate Bill 20. As discussed last Wednesday, there were several questions of the sponsor, Senator French, regarding the definition of income on Section 3, Line 7. But maybe before I get into that, maybe we'll have a... Senator Hoffman, we should have a motion to...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt as its working document CS for Senate Bill 20, State Affairs, K version.
Hearing no objections, we have the K version on the table. Let the record show that Senator Thomas has arrived, and I forgot to make my standard little early morning announcement. Please power down your cell phones, Blackberries, and other distracting telecommunication equipment in here. Last time we talked about the bill, I had some questions concerning the definition of income on Section 3, Lines 17 and 19. The concern of using the word income and dividend income from a limited liability company, I was worried that we weren't possibly capturing all forms of income. And under further discussion with Alaska Public Offices Commission and Senator French, I'm comfortable that the language is sufficient in the version that was brought to the committee by Senator French. This section merely closes existing loopholes that allow the partner of a limited liability corporation to receive dividend income in lieu of a salary to avoid the disclosure of income. And the intent clearly is on disclosure here. I want to make that very clear. I've been advised by APOC that the reporting of all other forms of compensation like stock options, equity, deferred compensation, and other creative methods of compensation are sufficiently covered elsewhere in the statutes. Is there any other questions concerning Senate Bill 20? Senator Hoffman?
I don't have any questions here.
Okay. Any questions from any other senator here?
Ready for a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I'd like to have a motion on the table, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we pass out CS for Senate Bill 20, State Affairs, K version, out with the individual recommendations with accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion. Any objection? Hearing no objection, we will pass out Senate Bill. We are going to take a brief at ease while we get some signatures, and I want to make sure that the CS is available for the next bill, 19, at the table. We'll be back in a minute. go back on the record, please? Next, we're going to take up CS for Senate Bill 19, which is an act relating to the public officers taking official action regarding or influencing a matter in which the public officer has a personal or financial interest. And the title goes on a little longer than that, but that kind of puts it in a caption. Last Wednesday, we discussed this bill, and there was some concern on clarity and trying to work with the statutes to make it clear not only for the people directly affected, but also the public when they're reviewing particular statutes, so they can help make it a little easier to follow in the statutes book. I have worked with a sponsor. I'm on a financial committee substitute, and the CS has been passed out. And Senator Hoffman, if we could move the CS, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 19, the O version, as our working document.
Okay, thank you. Hearing no objections. What I'd like is to have Senator French come forward, please, and Mr. Miles Baker from my office. And if we could have, when you guys start, naturally introduce yourself for the record. And then if we could have Mr. Baker walk through the changes, and then we can have some comments from Senator French. Miles Baker from my office worked with Senator French's office on these language. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd just like to, before we get too far into this presentation, just point out we have some individuals that are here from up in my district, and that's down here for the legislative flying. We have some students here from up in the Kobuk River area, the Northwest Arctic School Borough, as well as the chaperones in the back there. I just want to highlight their visiting our committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Miles Baker, staff to Senator Stedman. The CS before you, the section one, the previous version of the bill made changes to chapter 52 of statute, but all the lobbyist section of statute is Title 24, Chapter 45. So all Section 1 does is cross-reference the lobbying prohibitions that we're talking about in this bill and adds a section in the lobbyist statute. So if anybody was just looking in that section, they would see that there are prohibitions listed in a separate section. Section 2, no changes from the previous version. And Section 3, on page 3, lines 2 and 3, the previous bill did not include all of section 3952.110, and it only talked about section D. And you may still have the handout. It may be easier. There was a handout from last Wednesday that should still be in your packet that was the copy and statute of all of section 3952.180. And so the new version of the bill, we've basically addressed that entire section of statute. And what Section 3 does is it eliminates, on line 2 and 3, it deletes the word or and but does not include the, which had the effect of kind of creating a loophole that said you could a public employee that left service could not work for a company for compensation in an area where they had substantial involvement, except if that work had involved legislation, constitutional amendment work, adoption of administrative regulation. So it almost created a loophole within its own section for anybody that had been involved in legislative type work. So all we've done is take out the section that negated that and included all types of work. So it tightens up that two-year prohibition.
Okay.
In section four, we took the previous section and legislative legal just kind of redrafted that and created and tried to, since we've added a couple categories for clarification of people that will be prohibited for 1 year from lobbying. The layout is a little different. Instead of being in paragraph form, it's actually a list. But in essence, all we've done there is in line 20 and 21, clarified that legislative liaisons, whether they work on the third floor or whether they work in the principal departments, are prohibited from lobbying for 1 year.
And the third floor is?
The governor's office.
Thank you.
We've also made sure we're including the lieutenant governor's office as well. There was some discussion last time whether policy-making position needed to be defined, and in our discussions afterwards and with Ledge Legal, we felt it did not, and that was pretty clear what that meant. The other thing we've added are in line 27 and 28, we included the chair of the governing board and the executive officer of the state public corporation. So ADA, ASME, those sorts of, the chair of those boards, as well as the chief executive officer, would be prohibited from 1 year.
And that's the Alaska Industrial Development Board?
Alaska Industrial Development Board and the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute.
Just for people at home following.
Section 5, there were no changes from the previous bill. Section 6, going back to what I was referring to of the four sections in 180 that weren't addressed, Section 6 repeals Section C of 3952-180, which reads, the head of an agency may waive application of A, and A was the two-year prohibition. It says that the head of an agency may waive application of A of this section after determining that representation of a former public officer is not adverse to the public interest. The waiver must be in writing, and a copy of the waiver must be provided to the Attorney General for approval or disapproval. Section 6 of the bill, the way it's written now, would repeal that whole section. And in the discussions last week and with the sponsor, again, that seemed to create a loophole that said that if you're on departing service, if your boss or your previous boss, the head of your agency, signed a waiver saying they felt it was fine for you to go work for that agency, that you could do so. And in discussing this with the Attorney General's office, so we wanted to make sure that if we remove that, were we creating any problems with people being able to get an answer to whether they should be able to work or not. And the Attorney General's office said no, that elsewhere in statute, the Attorney General is listed as the person that anybody in the executive branch would go to get clarification as to whether their future employment is restricted by Section A or not. So by eliminating that waiver, it just, again, tightens up people's ability to kind of creatively interpret the statute. And that, Mr. Chairman, were the changes in the CS.
Senator French, would you like to add any comments or what your thoughts are?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Good morning, members of the committee. I just want to thank you and your staff, Mr. Baker, for your improvements and the rest of the committee for your improvements to the bill. I think there were three significant improvements made to the bill. I think the bill got significantly tougher here in the Senate Finance Committee than the product that came into the committee. Each change, if you will, either closed a loophole or broadened the effect of the bill on the executive branch, thus, you know, bringing more individuals under the meaning and the intent of the law, and preventing the loopholes that Mr. Baker just finished describing from being able to be used. So I think is, just by way of overview, the bill is a better product than what came into the committee, and that's really all I have. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman, do you have anything?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator, you're fine?
Fine.
Senator Olson, then Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look at the changes in Section 3 and Section 4, have there been widespread abuse of these areas that prompted you to go and make these changes, or what is the history behind it?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't know if widespread abuse is the exact right term, but we frequently see examples, and sometimes they're public examples that wind up in the Anchorage newspaper, for example, of individuals leaving the executive branch and hopping directly into fairly lucrative jobs in the private sector. And it appears, at least I think to the public, that individual is trading on the special knowledge that he or she gained while being paid with public funds and turning those talents, if you will, into an advantage in the marketplace to come right back to this building and push changes to the law. And I think a lot of folks just feel like that process needs to be slowed down, and so that the revolving door doesn't spin quite so fastly.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, more information by more knowledgeable people give you a better sense of the legislative process, though?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I think that's the other side of the argument, and it's a valid argument. And there's a balance, I believe, between getting knowledgeable people to work in the public sector, or in the private sector, I should say, and not trading on the information that you gained and the special access that you had as a public official. Individuals that work in the governor's office have wide access in this building, and they are present at all stages of the crafting and passing of legislation. And many, I think the public just feels like that's something you earned using their dollars and their building and their space, if you will. And it just it strikes some people as being a little too quick to hop from one side to the other without some intervening time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This may be covered someplace, but I'm not aware of it. How about the flip side of this coin? If I'm a lobbyist prior to becoming an someone in state service. And quite frankly, I think that bears as much attention as what we're giving this in some cases. So if there isn't something that addresses that, I would highly encourage us, this may not be the vehicle, but that we look at what you were doing prior to coming into service and what the ramifications of that are.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that's a creative idea, and I know we, for example, you and I still have the governor's ethics bill and the Judiciary Committee. There's a bill also by Senator Gary Stevens that deals with the types of work that you can do as a legislator outside the building, and I'd be eager to work with you on that idea, because I think you're right. I think there are times when a well-placed lobbyist suddenly trades on that access and hops into government service with special access, perhaps, or special influence.
Yeah, or is making decisions or providing input on decisions on items that they just got through lobbying for.
Mm-hmm. Senator Olson, you have another follow-up?
Just to follow up on that question, are you saying you want to restrict somebody like a lobbyist or someone that's been advocating for a certain issue to not be able to run for office?
No, I'm really, in this case, it didn't matter to me whether you're running for office or whether you're in the administration. Say again? Executive. In this case, it's executive.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. We'll go ahead and have the Judiciary Committee work on that issue. I think certainly it's two edges of the sword. We need to look at both sides. David Jones from the Department of Law. He wishes to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. My name is David Jones. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with the State of Alaska in the Department of Law. My primary purpose this morning is to address Senator Hoffman's question from last meeting. Senator Hoffman asked, whether the governor supported the changes in the prior version of Senate Bill 19 to the lobbying restrictions, to expand those restrictions to include division directors and chairs of certain boards and commissions. And I have an answer. The answer is yes, the governor does support that. The governor also supports the expansion of lobbying restrictions under this committee substitute. I do, however, want to make a couple points with respect to these new changes, which we've just seen this morning. One is that on page 3, line 22, there's a reference to administrative assistants being barred from lobbying for 1 year after leaving the administrative assistant positions. It's unclear grammatically from the way the sentence is structured whether those administrative assistants have to be involved in policymaking or instead any administrative assistant in the governor's office would be barred from lobbying for 1 year. And I don't know the intent of the drafter or the committee's intention with respect to that provision, but we would want to be clear about whether any administrative assistant in the governor's office or lieutenant governor's office would be barred from lobbying, or just those administrative assistants that are involved in policymaking. Another point that occurred to us in looking over this provision on page 3, line 25, the lobbying restriction would apply only to the chair of these various boards and commissions. And there are some boards and commissions in which the chairmanship rotates. Someone will take it for a year and then someone else for the following year. It appears under this provision that the person who serves as a chair for a year is barred from lobbying for only 1 year after serving in that position as chair. But it was unclear to us whether that was the intent of the committee, rather in is the intent instead to bar someone who has served on that board and commission as chair from lobbying for 1 year after leaving that board or commission. And given that fact, it may be appropriate to consider whether all members of those boards and commissions should be barred from lobbying, because in most cases, the chair of a board or commission doesn't have significantly greater authority in making policy determinations than any other member of the board or commission. The chair, for the most part, in those instances, runs the meeting, but only casts one vote, just as the other members do. Section 6 of the bill on page 4, line 4, would repeal the waiver provision that exists under current law that allows the head of a principal department to waive the post-employment restrictions subject to approval by the Attorney General. As Mr. Baker indicated, we discussed that provision. This has not been a subject of concern for the Attorney General's office because it comes up so very rarely. And therefore, eliminating that waiver provision, we anticipate, would not cause any great harm to the executive branch. On the other hand, it has not been a source of difficulties either. And unless there are other questions, I have nothing further.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understood it, there are really two areas I think that we need to address, and that's the on page 3, subsection 5, lines 22 through 24, and then let's just take that one up first. It's my understanding, and I would imagine it's the understanding of the committee, that the idea here is to prevent those administrative assistants from lobbying who've been in a policy-making position. I'm not sure what grammatical change we need to make to make that clear right here on the fly. Perhaps we could take an at ease and figure out if Mr. Jones has a suggestion. I'd be interested in hearing that. But that's my intent, is just to keep, it's not every single person who's an administrative assistant, it's those who have been close to the policy, or either in a policymaking position.
That is my understanding, not only the intent, but when it was drafted up by Ledge Legal, you know, to ensure that that is in fact the case.
Suggestions?
I have a suggestion, thank you, through the chair. In Alaska Statute 3950200A1, there's a definition of assistants to the governor and lieutenant governor who have to file financial disclosure forms with APOC. And that refers to various positions and then says others employed similarly in policymaking positions. And I think because of the structure of that particular definition, it makes it clear that all the listed positions that precede the OR have to be policymaking positions. And my suggestion is that if we included similar language in this provision, we would make it somewhat clearer that the intent of the drafter.
That's point number one, Mr. Chairman. And as to lines 25 and 26, the boards and commissions, it sounds like the best way to capture the intent of the committee is to just change the word chair on line 25 to member. And I think that would...
Mr. Chair. Go ahead,
that would do it. Thank you.
Senator Elton. On that subject?
On that subject. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Maybe the Department of Law and the sponsor. I mean, if we do it on line 25, shouldn't we also be doing it on line 27, where we say member of the governing board instead of chair of the governing board? I mean, is there a substantial, substantive difference between the two that would preclude the one from being a chair and the other from being a member?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, I don't know that the chair of the governing board rotates in the same manner that the board and commission chair rotate. Maybe Mr. Jones can tell us.
I'm at a loss to speak to that through the chair, Senator Elton. I don't know all the specifics for these other boards.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I'm less worried about whether or not the chair rotates, but it seems to me that Mr. Jones, in his discussion, he noted that a member of the board has as many votes as the chair of a board. The same situation exists here. And I think it's the ability to set policy, and if you set policy by voting and a member has the same number of votes as the chair, the same issue arises.
Senator French.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, I don't object to your rationale, and it strikes me that it's just safer. It's better to be, you know, a little wider than a little narrower in this application. I don't know who would be harmed by being prohibited from leaving a governing board of a state public corporation and hopping over into a lobbyist position. They'd simply have to find some other sort of work to sustain themselves after they've left public service. And I think most of us find a way to live without going to be lobbyists. And so I don't think that your proposed change would represent a hardship on anybody.
Senator Hoffman, would you entertain a motion to change the word chair to member in line 25 and also line 27?
Mr. Chairman, I move that on line 25 and on line 27, the word chair be changed to member.
Okay. We have a motion. We have no objections. We'll go ahead and make that change on the CS. Is that Mr. French?
Mr. Chairman, there's still the matter of the administrative assistant on lines 22 through 24. If I could suggest perhaps a brief at ease while we take a look at some language from another statute, we might be able to fix this in a minute or two.
Okay, we'll take a brief at ease. bring her back to order, please? We're not going to go ahead and wordsmith that. I think we've got it covered. Further down the line, we may get readdressed with other viewpoints, and that's fine. Do we have anybody in the audience that would like to come forward and speak on the bill in front of us? And do we have, I don't think we have anybody online, do we? Okay, hearing none. Any final comments from the board? Senator Thomas?
The only other area that concerns me just a little bit is page 2, line 31, the definition of personally and substantially, and I wonder if you could share a comment on that. Thank you, Senator Stedman. If you would have any thoughts on whether that still leaves a bit of a hole for a deputy to do the bidding of their boss or something, and someone squeezes out with saying, personally and substantially, I didn't deal with that action, the official action.
Senator French.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Thomas, I think you pointed out some of the words that can frequently be used both for and against you. And I'm not certain that you can tighten any more beyond this idea. Nevertheless, a pair of lawyers could I imagine, a clash in court over whether it was a personal involvement, whether it was substantial or not. But it's my belief that this language has been in the books for over a decade, and so I think that it's going to be the best we can do.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Can we have a motion, Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee move out CS for Senate Bill 19 as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, the committee will go ahead and move out Senate Bill 19 onto rules. That concludes the work today, and I'd like to thank Senator French for his effort in not only of the other committees, but here today on both bills in front of us. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority will be in to give us an overview. And we're going to also bring back the administration, and we're going to start going in later in the week in more detail on the PERS and TERS issue. We have some analytical background that we need to get up on the screen. We're going to do it in pieces so everybody doesn't, I recognize it's a rather dry subject, so I'm going to try to break it down in pieces to try to make it a little bit easier. I'd like to take just a brief at ease. Back on the record. On Wednesday, it's going to be kind of a tight schedule in the room here, so everybody could be on time. We'll start right on time. They only have like 45 minutes because of the other scheduling, so the Mental Health Authority would certainly appreciate the full 45 because they're getting cut kind of short. With that, thank everybody for coming today, and meeting is adjourned at 9:40.